our Monday Atlanta United recap with 92.9 The Game soccer analyst Jason Longshore on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, coming up in about 15 minutes, Mike and I have a really cool announcement. We'll tell you more about it, so stay tuned for that. We're live at SEC Media Days, which starts today in downtown Atlanta at the Omni. But right now on the WadeFord.com hotline is none other than Jason Longshore, analyst for our Atlanta United. And Jason, yesterday was incredible because of the crowd that was on hand to witness and watch the game and setting records. But from the game standpoint, very frustrating to know that we just couldn't break through. And we had opportunities, but it just didn't happen. What was your assessment of what happened yesterday?
Frustrating's a good word for it. You know, Seattle came in very defensive. It was different than Portland, and that was the last time a team came into Mercedes-Benz Stadium and was very defensive. Portland had a plan to soak up pressure and hit on the counter. That's what they do home or away. That's just how Portland plays. They're very good at it. Seattle, especially lately, as they're struggling to score goals, have just decided to be as negative and defensive as possible. And it's difficult. It's very difficult to break down. Atlanta United created chances, though. When you go back and start looking at the numbers, they created chances and had opportunities. Stephen Fry with five saves, and Atlanta United unable to create the higher quality chances that they usually convert on.
Jason Longshore is with us, guys. He had the call with Mike Conte, 72,000 plus at Mercedes-Benz yesterday after the World Cup. Jason, I was being a little hard on Barco because I just want Barco to shoot more, but Barco created some great opportunities. A couple of guys reminded me on Twitter. What was your evaluation of Barco and Miggy? Because it seemed like Miggy was a little off his game.
Yeah, that's been interesting going back through the numbers because the Barco conversation has been going on for quite a while. And I think, you know, people didn't really know what to expect when you spend $15 million on a player like Ezequiel Barco. But you look at these last four games since the Nagby injury and you look at the chances being created, Ezequiel Barco is the key player in that. He created five chances yesterday, three in Philadelphia, one in Dallas, four against Orlando. He's led the team in chances created by a wide margin. Next in the team in those four games is Miguel with six. Then you're getting down to Joseph Martinez with five, Escobar with five. More chances created, I think, from a wider variety of players is one thing. But you look back to that game yesterday, and you look at how Atlanta United in the second half especially settled for crosses. That's not creating quality chances. It's wasteful, in my opinion.
Jason, when you talk about VAR and the penalties yesterday, I think we had our fifth penalty we conceded, which is the third most in MLS. But, you know, I saw Tata talking about this after the game. You know, he said, why did it take so long to make a decision? Well, what's the deal here?
They were stalling. What are we doing?
What's going on with this?
That's the problem I have with it is VAR and replay is supposed to come into effect on a play that is seen as a clear and obvious error on the field. That's the terminology MLS and the Professional Referees Organization uses. It took a long time to determine if that was a clear and obvious error. If it takes that long, is it a clear and obvious error? That's the question I have. And I'll also echo Michael Parkhurst on our full-time report yesterday after the match. He said he doesn't know what a handball really is anymore. And after the World Cup final and the incident with Escobar that led to the penalty, I don't know what a handball is either. I don't know. I think Escobar did everything he could to get his arms out of that, including turning his body away, and it deflects into his arm. There's absolutely no intent. And if that had been ruled a penalty on the field, I don't know if there would have been enough in a replay to change that. In this case, it wasn't ruled a penalty on the field, and they go to a long replay to determine if an error was made. It's got to be faster.
I'm with you. And Lodeiro was sandbagging. For those who don't remember Seattle, it was guys going to take the corner kick. Is just sitting there milking it. You've got a ref that, you know, Toledo, who's – I mean, we've had the good and the bad from him. I think we've had advantage from him. We've also had him take it away, as we saw on Sunday. But the VAR, the no consistency, and you're right, Carl, and Jason, for years it would be about the ref interpreting, okay, was the guy trying to manipulate the ball to stop it, to protect a goal, or is it just incidental contact? And I think that's what the Croat coach had a problem with in the World Cup final.
Yeah, it's just, it's so inconsistent. And that's the biggest problem I have. I want to see MLS get this right. I think throughout the World Cup, we saw VAR do a good job in general. The whole process, I think, was handled differently than in MLS. You have a crew of four. It's done from a centralized location. I think there was better instruction. I think there were better expectations set. I think everyone was on the same page. MLS, it's too disorganized. It's such a variety of video assistant referees who show up week to week. There's no consistency in the way that they see the game and the way that they get involved. This has to change. Mike Petke from Real Salt Lake had an epic rant about video assistant referees and the whole process. He's probably looking at a big fine, and he said that he doesn't care. So it's getting to the point that it's not just Atlanta having some issues with us.
We're talking with Jason Longshore here on Dukes and Bell, Atlanta United analyst, guys. More about what's coming up with the Falcons at 5 o'clock as we count down to the start of training camp, and more college football conversation as we go on the sidelines with the Dogs at 4. What about the play of Julian Gressel opening up an opportunity for Joseph Martinez? I've been saying it. We've talked about it.
Love his game, man.
Gressel has been amazing this season, and I thought that was another example yesterday.
It was. Gressel has been just so good this season connecting with Joseph Martinez specifically. You go back and look, I think out of Martinez's goals, 7 have been assisted by Julian Gressel. That's the best combination, one of the best in Major League Soccer as a whole. I think Gressel's still kind of figuring out the number 8 role, replacing Darlington Nagbe, because it is really different than the way he was playing as a right wing back. I think it was easier for him to create chances and find his way to impact the match out wide. Centrally, he has more to do because he has more defensive responsibilities. And I think he's just starting to get his grips on how to play that role and suit the team. There's been moments in the last few matches where he's kind of disappeared in stretches. We need to see more of what he did against Orlando, what he did yesterday, when he finds that pocket of space and able to put in a cross.
It is our man, Jason Longshore. You'll hear him with the call again throughout the season with our man, Mike Conte, is going to join us next segment for in case you missed it. You talked about VAR. We talked about the McCann mugging, which has gone viral. We talked about, I thought, you know, Miggy gets taken down late in stoppage time. So here's the thing, Jason. Jason, here's the thing. We are the show, okay? I mean, it's one thing when everybody on the planet loves our team. Why doesn't the MLS love us back? I'm not saying we need special treatment, but we have seen other teams get that special treatment in other leagues.
It's really interesting, and as somebody, you know, who has been a fan of Atlanta sports all my life, it's really weird to see Atlanta United in this situation where they are the flag bearer for Major League Soccer. I don't know if any other Atlanta team could really say that at different points. You know, the Braves at different points in Major League Baseball, but everybody else has kind of struggled to be that flagship team. And it feels like United doesn't get the respect that normally goes along with being the flagship team, whether it's referees or commentary or what have you. It's really strange to me. I want to see more consistency in the way Atlanta United's top players and creative players are protected. Ezekiel Barco, again, yesterday, 3 different times, 4 actually, because one wasn't called a foul, advantage was played. He is just decked at midfield. Just blatant hits at midfield. No yellow cards. I mean, this is a player that Atlanta United spent $15 million for. you want to see him be able to play, but when he's having to keep his eyes peeled for somebody coming in to drop him, and it happens all the time, it affects the game. It's got to be more consistent. It's got to be better. I want to see attacking soccer. I want to see creativity rewarded.
See, Jason, here's the thing. I got a bunch of tweets, actually half a dozen today, and Carl and I have talked about it on the text line. We're turning new fans onto soccer. We had people there for the first time yesterday.
A lot of new people.
Yeah, they didn't get the bang for their buck yesterday. We saw you just laid it out. I mean, you're bringing people to the well to drink, and they want to take a sip, but they don't like what they're seeing once they get there because of the inconsistency of the officiating, everything you just laid out. That's got to improve.
Yeah, I thought Bobby Warshaw from MLSsoccer.com really nailed it yesterday. So this is a huge opportunity for Major League Soccer. The biggest game after the World Cup final, it will likely end up being the most viewed MLS match on television, both domestically and around the world, because it was everywhere yesterday. And one team came out to play. Atlanta United did. Seattle, came out to frustrate and be defensive and be cynical and be negative. And Bobby Warshaw said it. Look, Brian Schmetzer's job, the manager of the Seattle Sounders, is not to grow the game or be entertaining. But there is a certain level of responsibility here. You know, this was a showcase match for the league, and you can't have a showcase when one team doesn't want to play. And that's how it played out yesterday. It was very frustrating. Seattle gets the point that still leaves them 11 points out of the playoffs. It doesn't really do them any good, but it frustrates everyone who was there.
Let me ask you if this concerns you. Jason Longshore, our guest, as we talk Atlanta United, guys. We still, you know, when you talk about the standings, are in first place, obviously, 41 points. But when you look at, you know, NYCFC, they've got 40 points. They played one game fewer. You look at Dallas right there on the cusp with 38, having played two games fewer. Does this concern you? Because a couple of games now, you look at Portland, you look at this one, we should have had the W.
Yeah, it's going to be a dogfight to the supporter shield.
It is.
This is, I think, the most competitive season we've seen in MLS, maybe ever, with some teams really separating themselves. Atlanta, both New York teams in the East, Dallas, LAFC, Kansas City, and Portland in the West are all capable of winning the supporter shield. And Atlanta has to find ways to get more points against the top eight teams. That has been the one knock. They're right around the middle of that group of eight against each other. The Red Bulls have been by far the best team against the group of eight, the elite eight. They've been really bad against everybody else in comparison. They're 6-4-1 against the rest of the pack. Atlanta has been great against the rest of the pack. They have to find more points against the top teams. The Seattle point was a bit of an aberration in that regard. They just have to create more chances against the defensive teams, and they have to convert on the chances they create. I think they have to attack more centrally. Sending in crosses doesn't play to Atlanta's strengths.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother. That's kind of what the soccer snobs are saying. I say that lovingly in my section. Just about 30 seconds left. We got DC United coming up Saturday, which, again, may park the bus well against us. So expect more of the same. Real quick, the World Cup final, man. You like what you saw? I mean, France, and the good news if you're a French fan is they got the Euros in 2 years, and this whole group of guys, the nucleus, can be around for the next World Cup.
This French group was just pragmatic. They got it done. It wasn't always pretty, but they were strong defensively and had enough going forward. And like you said, they're young. They're not going anywhere. I hated it for Croatia. I love to see that group of players who that play really good, attack-minded, creative soccer. Luka Modric, the Golden Ball winner, is the best player of the tournament. Would have loved to have seen them lift the trophy, because I don't know, that group probably won't be back next time in the World Cup. So it was a great performance from Croatia, but the French were deserving champs.
It's always good to get you on, Jason. Great stuff, great analysis as always.